in the middle of Vibhuti Yoga, which is the name Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave chapter 10. We call it the opulence of the Absolute in English. Vibhuti means opulence. One time, Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with Tripurari Maharaj, so he called him the incarnation of book distribution. Now, what did he mean by that? Because when you hear incarnation, you think Shaktivesh, you think Vishnu. But Prabhupada meant what we're hearing tonight. Of fishes, I am the shark. So of book distributors, I am Tripurari, you know, in that context. It's a vibhuti. That's what Prabhupada meant by the incarnation. He didn't mean, you know, avesh or what do you say, ankshas, or all those different technical Sanskrit terms. He meant vibhuti. What we're seeing in Tripurari Maharaj is a little hint of Krishna's expertise, you know, in this case, of book distribution. So let's go to 10:31. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, text 31. Pavana pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Jahnavi Pavana pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Janadi Pavana Pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Jahnavi. Anyone? Pavana Pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Jahnavi Pavatam Pavanamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Jahnavi. Ladies? Pavana Pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashana Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Janadi Pavada Pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Britamaham Jashana Makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Janavi. Word for word, Pavanaha, the wind, Pavatam, of all that purifies, Asmi, I am, Ramaha, Rama, Shastra Vitam, of the carriers of weapons, Aham, I am, And this is hard. Everybody's saying with the wrong accent and the wrong syllable, but it's, you got to say long A, or first short A, and then long, and then too long. So it's Jashanam. Not Jashanam, but Jashanam. Okay. Jashanam of all fish. Makaraha, the shark. Cha, also. Asmi, I am. Srotasam of flowing rivers. Asmi, I am. Jahnavi, the river Ganges. Translation of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Please repeat, of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Srila Prabhupada's two-line purport. Of all the aquatics, the shark is one of the biggest and is certainly the most dangerous to man. Thus, the shark represents Krishna. So Prabhupada chose to focus on Jashana Makarashjasmi. Om Ajnana Tibarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So one way, Srila Prabhupada is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, is that whenever if I happen to see an ad for Jaws, or hear somebody talking about Jaws, I can think of Krishna. I don't just have to see this big, you know, horrible mouth with all these teeth. I can think, oh, this is an opulence of Krishna. That's the whole point of the chapter, is to, when anything impresses us, or catches our eye, or our ear, or our tongue, or our nose, or, you know, all the senses, it can remind us of Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So first of all, of purifiers, I am the wind. It's really a shame here in this part of the world that you don't have consistent. It's like I was walking today and fetching my laundry out of the drying room at the college. And it was a beautiful day. But I was walking back with my little basket and my folded, you know, laundry, and then I said to Anasuya, I said, boy, it's a shame we can't hang our clothes out here, because the best dryer is Vivasvan and Vayu. You know, it's so fresh, it's so good. And she said, yeah, but in an hour it could be pouring rain. You never know around here. Anyway, what to do? You can't have everything, right? Small price. So purifiers, I am the wind. And sometimes you get a little glimpse of that, you know, during like a tornado or
a tornado. A tornado, a twister. There's a movie, The Twister, like that. And hurricanes. And whenever these things happen, I mean, it's so ridiculous the way we're, as Shakespeare put it, life is but a pure player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is no more. I mean, we're nothing. We're so insignificant. And it just takes one little flick of nature, you know, to finish us. So of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Balai Vidyabhushan, the great Vaishnav to whom Prabhupada dedicates this Gita, says that the Rama referred to by Krishna in this verse is not Lord Rama, although he's certainly famous for his weapon wielding. It's Parashuram, because here Krishna is not talking about his personal incarnations, he's talking about his vibhutis.
So Parashuram, he's a Shaktivesh, a warrior, kind of a warrior incarnation, but he's a jiva. He's not Vishnu. Better check that, because he's also in the pictures. Yeah, but anyway, this is what Baladeva Vijayabhushan says. This is Parashuram, because Parashuram is not of the category of Rama, but I'm not prepared to talk about all these categories, so don't quote me on that. But that's what Baladeva Vijayabhushan says. Yeah, 21 times. And we're all supposedly Americans, Europeans, descendants from those rogue Kshatriyas. That's why Prabhupada said we're always fighting. We just like to fight, you know, for no good reason. Okay. Anyway, that's what Baladeva Vijayabhushan said. Of fishes, I am the shark. Yeah, the shark is like the lion of the ocean. You know, he rules the sea. But if we see him in this light, we can also remember Krishna. We don't just have to think of some ghastly fish with big teeth. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. So even when ordinary people, if they know anything about the Ganges, what do they find remarkable about the Ganges? Does anybody know? Raise your hand if you know. Yeah, if even people who aren't into the Ganges as being a holy river, but they might know something about the Ganges. It's famous for... What is it? You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's the water. When the British, for example, when the British were in India, in the 19th century, when they would take their ships. Oh, is it here? You're talking about the Ganges, or are you talking about? That's what I just said. All right, okay, I'll just read. Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan comments that the Rama referred to here is Parashuram because Krishna is explaining his vibhutis, his opulences, not his incarnations. Parashuram is a living entity, empowered, shaktiyavesh, to wield weapons. So apparently some of those pictures, we see what was making us stumble were the pictures. We were thinking that all the pictures are Vishnu, right? You know, the pictures of incarnations, like gallery pictures. But apparently they're not. Some of them are jivas, empowered jivas. So apparently he says a living entity. It's kind of vague. I mean, you can take it in different ways, but we're all living entities. But I think that was the distinction that Baladeva Vijayabhushan was making. Here you go. Yeah, that's where I got the reference. I read it before I came. Okay, so. A lot of people who are, if they're a little educated about the Ganges, has a self-purifying property that's mystical, that scientists try as they might, they can't boil it down to chemistry. You know, they've tried to isolate the different, and there's just some missing element there. It's called Krishna. It's called Krishna's mystic potency. That's why Krishna says, Srotasa Maspi Janavi, of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. This is my potency. I'm doing this. So the British, when they were occupying India, when they would take their ships back to England from India, they would stock up on Ganges water because it was the only water that wouldn't break down and go bad on them. And so they couldn't explain it, but they appreciated it. So... whether you're starting at Gangotri all the way up, you know, the source, Gomukh or whatever it is, up the source, up there, way up there, Badrinath, or, you know, as it flows down and sort of east to the Bay of Bengal, down to what they call the Hooghly. You know, the Hooghly means the Ganges are in Calcutta, and it's really, you know, externally at least, polluted, but it's never polluted because it's the Ganges. So, you know, people, even in the Hooghly, even in the Kolkata, portion of the Ganga, they take bath because they know it's good for them spiritually and materially. Then it flows down to the Bay of Bengal. Now it flows by Mayapur, really nicely by Mayapur, and it's tricky. And so every once in a while you'll hear the announcements at the morning announcements, especially when it's festival time. A reminder that the Ganges has very powerful currents and you can easily get sucked down. And what do they say? They always say, Hari Shari used to say this when he was doing the announcements, if you feel you find yourself going down, you don't fight it. I think you let it, the current push you up, something like that. What is it? Let the current drag you. Yeah. I once, 1978, I tell this story sometimes. So for my first visit to India, 1 week in Vrindavan, 1 week in Mayapur, that was all the BBT could afford, right? Or something. That's all they let, no, the time, it was about time, really. I never saw Srila Prabhupada in India, but I got to go the year after he left. And I was on the other side, I was on the Namdweep side, or I guess it was Bhaktivinoda's side, because it was the Jalangi, which is a tributary or related river. So it looked like I could swim back, because at that time, and this is like 34 years ago, it looked pretty narrow, the Jalangi. So I thought, I don't wait for the boat, I'll just swim it. I'm not that strong a swimmer, but it looked doable. So I started swimming. And then, much to my surprise and chagrin, right around midstream, the current got pretty strong. And so I started really struggling, and I was really trying to make it, and I didn't think I was going to make it. I was just huffing and puffing, and I'm not that strong a swimmer because I have these kind of cervical spine, upper spine, you know, injury weaknesses. And it's kind of a, just even treading water, it's hard for me to keep my neck up. So anyway, I was huffing and puffing and gasping, and I thought I was going to drown. I was really, you know, I wasn't making it. So what came into my mind? Did I tell this story? Oh, you know. Oh, I told you at the center in Mayapur. What came into my mind was a chewing gum commercial. A chewing gum commercial. You know, chewing gum. So this was Krishna showing me how far I had to go. It was a chewing gum for, do they have this in Europe? Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Wrigley's. It was in 1965. Chewing gum commercial. It was an old chewing gum commercial. That's the power of TV. Hi ho, hey, 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 chew your little troubles away. Chew Wrigley Spearmint Gum. Mataji's covering her ears. She doesn't want to remember that at the time of death. Well, I almost did. Anyway, somehow I made it, you know, gasping like a half-dead fish, and then I remembered what I thought of. I thought, oh my gosh, I flunked the pop quiz. I didn't think of Krishna. I thought of Wrigley chewing. Who knows what I would have become if, you know, a bug on some gum? Who knows? Anyway, of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. The Ganges has this self-purifying property, which is mystical. I heard a documentary and several parts on the Ganges on the radio a couple of years ago. It was a British journalist, and that was his theme, the mystical Ganges. And it was all about, you know, the purifying properties. And no matter where they were testing it, you know, up high where it's pure, or down around Banaras or Kolkata, you know, there's different stops on their journey, and they always talked, at every stop they talked about it, you know. And then the punchline at the end, the conclusion was, they couldn't define it materially. It wasn't materially ascertainable, which was nice, actually. They admitted, they were a little honest. Okay, so I wanted to do one more verse. Any questions about the wind and the weapon wielders and the shark and the Ganges? See, these are all... You have a gift, a matchless gift. Joy. Oh. I already got one. He strangled me with it. All right, off comes. There you go. Well, that's Balaram and... Or Lord Ram. Oh, he said Lord Ram. Lord Ram or Balaram. I only seen two. You said three? Well, qualitatively that's true. Qualitatively it's true. He's just quoting Baladev. Anyway, that's not really the point. The point is that they can remind us of Krishna. Well, not these technicalities. That's not the point. The point is that all these phenomena, they're little, as Krishna says, finally, you know, what needed, know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. So they can all remind us of Krishna instead of distracting us. They can remind us. All right, let's go to text 32. Sarganama nirantascha madhyang chayvaham arjuna adhyatma vidya vidyanam vada pravadatamaham. Translation together. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Now, Prabhupada makes more comments here. Purport. Among the created manifestations, the first is the creation of the total material elements. As explained before, the cosmic manifestation is created and conducted by Mahavishnu, Garbho Dakashayi Vishnu, and Shiro Dakashayi Vishnu. And then again it is annihilated by Lord Shiva. Brahma is a secondary creator. All these agents of creation, maintenance, and annihilation are incarnations of the material qualities of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all creation. For advanced education, there are various kinds of books of knowledge, such as the four Vedas. There are six supplements, the Vedanta Sutra, books of logic, books of religiosity, and the Puranas. So altogether, there are 14 divisions of books of education. Of these, the book which presents Adhyatma, Vidya, spiritual knowledge, in particular, the Vedanta Sutra represents Krishna. Among logicians, there are different kinds of argument. Supporting one's argument with evidence that also supports the opposing side is called jalpa. Merely trying to defeat one's opponent is called vatanda, but the actual conclusion is called vad. This conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna. On a morning walk, Miami Beach, 1975, the same morning walk where I realized that it's all about vani and not vapu. You've heard me tell this, right? I stopped and back to Prabhupada's head. Okay, so on that walk, at the end of the walk, Prabhupada was getting in the car, and right as he was walking toward the car, somebody asked this kind of off-the-wall, we say off-the-wall question. The devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, in the Bible, Lord Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know, the beginning and the end. Could Lord Jesus be a pastime of Lord Brahma? Prabhupada didn't say anything. But as Srila Kirti Prabhu was opening the door for Prabhupada, he said Srila Prabhupada muttered something. And what he muttered was, why not? Why not? So he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. But here we have something very definitive. Krishna, he is the beginning and the end and also the middle. He's everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Now, I like this. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. What does science come to mean in Kali Yuga? Secular science. They study what? They try to answer the question, what? That's what they answer. That's what they're trying to answer, what? But why is, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self? That means philosophy. That's a deeper question, is why? Have you heard the tape where, this is 1975 also, it's in Caracas, no, Mexico City, in the beginning of January, and there's a Sanskrit professor, and she's saying, and this is the title of the tape, the title is, Why Is There Anything? And she said, we are wondering, Swamiji, why is there anything? And she said it like she thought she might have Prabhupada stumped. You know, why is there anything? So, without missing a beat, Prabhupada said, everything is already there. Better you ask, where does everything come from? And then Prabhupada quotes the Vedanta Sutra. Janma yasyataha. See how Prabhupada turned it from a nonsense, mental, speculative question to something grounded in reality. Because he knows where everything's coming from, and he wants to inform her that the absolute truth is a person, and it's already here, everything's already here. Why not ask where it comes from? You see how the mental speculator starts with his own mind. Why is there anything? Well, why don't you ask the person who created everything? He'll tell you. But they don't want to do that. They'd rather just, you know, speculate and get a Nobel Prize or something. Okay, so the highest science is the science that answers the question, why? Which is what a little kid asks, which we're discouraged from asking as we get so-called educated. You know what Einstein said about education? And of course he's the darling, you know, material scientist. He said, it's a wonder after you get through all that education that you have any imagination left at all. It's like, they just kill it. They just kill it. You know, the way they try to fill you up with their speculation and rules and narrow paradigms and, you know. So, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And then, Prabhupada really has fun with this one. Vada pravadatamaham. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Now, we have this phenomenon in ISKCON. It's called folio scholars. Right? If you go to the folio, if you go to the Veda base, you'll read a very nice article right in the beginning, which I'm sure folio scholars never read. It's written by Jayadwaita Maharaj, and it's called What to Make of What You Find. What to make of what you find. And he tells, Maharaj reminds the reader, before you go into this Veda base with your agenda, with your desire to prove something based on your own desires, you know, you should know that Prabhupada's Vani is a many splendored thing. It has many sides, it has many applications. And if you just go in there to prove something, you can prove anything by Prabhupada's words, because there's, you know, 360 circumstances. And Maharaj basically is talking about different levels of evidence. He says there's the books, there's letters, there's room conversations, morning walks, and you have to weigh all these different evidences and to get to some, you know, reasonable conclusion that's consistent with Prabhupada's life, teachings, mood, and mission. So there's two kinds of logicians here. One is called Jalpa. Prabhupada says it means that you can, what is it called? Supporting one's argument with evidence that also supports the opposing side is called Jalpa. Before he became, before he took shelter of Srila Prabhupada's movement, Hridayananda Maharaj, it was Howard Resnick, and he and a buddy from L.A. used to go around up and down the West Coast just debating everybody, entering debating contests, just starting contests, and just because they could, they were so agile mentally, they could defeat anybody. They could even defeat themselves. Mahaprabhu used to do this. Mahaprabhu used to argue personalism, impersonalism, when he was Nimai Pandit, you know, like a wrangling arguer. He would do this, and he would defeat. He would, you know, defeat Mayavad. Then he would defeat himself, and then he had the devotees bewildered. Then he'd defeat himself again. So this kind of, you know, debating facility and word jugglery basically is called Jalpa. Sort of sounds like Prajalpa too, doesn't it? Okay. Merely trying to defeat one's opponent is called Vitanda. That's the main motive. You just want to do, you don't care really about the truth. You just want to win. It's all about winning, right? So there are many people who can talk circles around anybody, but that doesn't mean they're right. It just means they're really good with words, and they know how to just, you know, spin words. So don't be disturbed by that. It's an art. It's a kind of a siddhi. But the real thing is vad. This conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna. And this is what we mean by siddhanta, you know, and tattva. Janma karma cha me divyam. This is the line that Prabhupada quoted more than any other line. You know that? And if you make a study on the Veda base, this is what the archives people say. That Prabhupada quoted, not the whole verse. Janma karma, just this janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities is not upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. But the verse that Prabhupada lectured on more than any other, the whole verse, anybody know? 7-1. Maya sakamanak parto. If you go into the Veda base, you'll find 20, at least 20 lectures, I think 21 maybe. 20, at least 20. So Prabhupada obviously took that to be very important. Now hear, O son of Pricha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. That's what Prabhupada came to do. Free us from doubt. Doubt thy name is bondage, it says in the Bible. Okay, so we can't be, you know, word jugglers, and we can't just be out to win. You know, we have to be honest and try to ascertain the truth in all circumstances. What does Krishna say to Brahma? That's one of the chatur slokas. You know how that goes? One should seek out the absolute truth in all circumstances. I forget the rest. Okay, so philosophy is the ultimate science, and we should be out for the conclusion of philosophy and not simply, you know, to be a mundane wrangler. I brought up that verse on Sunday, the CC class from Mahabharata. Tarko pratishta, we can't know the truth by arguing, tarka. Shrutayo vibhinna, nor by just getting the Vedas on our own and try to study the Vedas. Na sang rishir yasya matang nabhinnam, nor even by asking different sages. They'll all have different opinions according to their adhikar, their level of realization. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. The solid truth of religious principles, says Maharaj Yudhisthira, is hidden nihitam guhayam, in the cavity, in the chamber of the heart. Therefore, mahajano yenikataksapanta, we have to simply follow in the footprints of those great souls surrendered unto God, the mahajans, and they can tell us the real solid truth, because it's revealed by Krishna and not to the mundane wrangler. Okay. I think we're about to be invaded by the Kirtaniyas. Anybody have any? Yes.
We found in one thing
Sarvadharman. Dehinosmin. So Janma Karma was 3. Okay, so Vanipedia has just trumped the archives. Oh, okay. No, this is the whole Vani. This is so. Yeah. Oh. Oh. Hmm. Maybe there's different ways to calculate. Anyway. Uh-huh. Suffice it to say, it's real important. This is my fact checker over here. It's called.
Oh, yeah, about the discussion about the note of Jayadeva. Actually, I have to agree. And this is actually one of the reasons why we started the problem. Because everybody's kind of.
Sure.
Yeah. So you see almost all the quotes, and we're still doing it. And then you can kind of, this is called an informal discussion. So you can both look at the screen, and then all the quotes are there. Like Jayadeva explains, it's kind of, some are seemingly controversial. Like we just discussed with the Ram thing. You know? So you can look at all of them, and then you can make an informal discussion.
You get a full picture.
Yeah.
Well rounded. Database, yeah. Folio scholars.
Yeah, so we it's our conviction that they will become obsolete.
Good.
The database will be seen as a rudimentary tool, like a hammer, and the Wikipedia will be the kind of culmination of the database.
This is what Vishnumurti Prabhu means by to its pristine condition. And I said, what do you mean by that? And it finally got it out of it. It means access. That we can finally access the whole picture. Because pristine condition, you ought to make a little different phrase than that. It's kind of mysterious. What are you talking about? It means pristine access. We'll finally have full access to all the different angles. Yeah. But rest assured, the devil will always try to quote scripture, no matter Veda, you know, Vanipedia or no Vanipedia. We go in there with our agendas because we have this desire filter and we can't even see it. It's based on, that's why Prabhupada would say, try to understand, try not to misunderstand, because he knows that's what we do. We twist things around our own desires. But Mahajano yenakataksapanta, the Mahajans say, surrender, buddy. Then you'll know. Surrender, buddy. Surrender, buddy. It's America. Bow down, mister. Okay, we're going to keep talking until we get invaded. Yes. Tetchanu. Let's see. Maya sakta. Mai. Now here, O Sanapita. Isn't it? Well, let's look at it. 7:1. Isn't there a mom or a personal pronoun in there? Let's see. Maybe not. Well, he's speaking, so what does he mean? It means from him. Okay. The Supreme Lord said, to me. Yeah, listen to me. Mai, first word. Mayas. See, what you read in the word-for-word translations often differs from the translation. So you have to look at the word-for-word, too, to get a... Yeah, right. Mind attached. Yeah, I see. Mind attached to me. Now hear, O son of Prita, yeah, well, that means hear me. hear ye. Or as Jesus said, Though for those who have ears, let them hear. If you really have ears. Okay, we've been invaded. Tomorrow night we'll do 10:33. We'll start with 10:33. Thanks for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.